Good morning. We're here on WGXE 90.7 in Accra, broadcasting from the Hudson Station today. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Francesca Olson.
And we are here this morning with Mayor Rick Scalera from the City of Hudson. And later in the show, we'll be joined by Council President Don Moore. But first, we're going to be talking about some of the village elections that happened last night.
And first, I have to report a correction from last week's show. Greg Finger, the chairman of the county's Republican Party, emailed me on Wednesday evening and told me that, yes, Beth Casalino, who is the current district attorney for Columbia County, is running for DA again. And we said that she wasn't, so my apologies for that.
So there was a big election in Chatham yesterday.
There was. Tom Curran, who this apparently was a highly debated, contested race. Tom Curran won in a landslide over incumbent mayor Paul Boehm. Is that how you say it, Boehm? He won by 423 votes to Boehm's 231, so that's pretty large. And 613 people came to Chatham to vote, which is a huge number for a small village election. And in Philmont, incumbent mayor Skip Speed beat Brian Wheeler, a lifetime village resident, by about 100 votes.
That was a smaller turnout there.
That was a much, like, 230 people came. Mm-hmm.
And there were some village elections in Kinderhook as well, but I think, were they all unopposed? Is that what it was?
I'm not totally sure. I left before John finished his Kinderhook and Valencia election story, so.
So we're here with Mayor Scalera, and yesterday there was an op-ed piece in the Register Star by Chairman Roy Brown. So we've invited Mayor Scalera to come in and discuss that op-ed piece.
I also invited the chairman, Roy Brown, but he is in Essex County until Friday. I just wanted to let you all know that.
So Rick, what are your thoughts on the chairman's op-ed piece?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say good morning to Victor and Francesca, and thank you for inviting me. I was taken back a little bit by the chairman's rather lengthy My View piece. I guess everything has come full circle. 3 years ago, it was in April of 2008, when then-former chairman, Art Bear, had announced at the county legislative breakfast meetings that the county was moving forward with a letter of intent to purchase the Aquamic site for a future home of DSS. And here we are 3 years later talking about the county purchasing or potentially purchasing the site that they currently occupy.
And well, clearly you were one of the major opponents of the move to Aquamic. Do you want to lay out a little bit of that of the history for people?
You know, I appreciate that. Again, talking about the April 5th announcement by Chairman Bear at that time, everybody was taken back by surprise. We had no idea that the county was moving forward, especially as fast as they were moving forward with the purchase of Aquamic for $1.5 million. It also included in that, you know, that site 6 miles outside of Hudson, that there was a $16 to $18 million upgrade, if you will, of the facility to build, not to mention that the oil remediation that needed to take place before they could actually buy the building. Shortly thereafter, the county paraded around a PowerPoint presentation, which basically told everybody why they had no other option but to move out to that Aquamic site, which we all know, in fact, that that's not true. In that PowerPoint presentation, they had ruled out sites such as the DSS location, which they're currently at Railroad Avenue. And when they had listed in that PowerPoint presentation as to why they could not stay there, they cited numerous reasons, and I'll go down them shortly. It says one was the building mechanics were nearly at the end of their useful life. The building's too small for the current needs of DSS. The site was too hard to find by clients serve. The expansion of the building is currently limited. Parking's inadequate for both current and future needs. There was no opportunity to expand for a county campus over there. And lastly, the site had contained some environmental liabilities. So from that point on, when they completely had ruled out, not only on this PowerPoint presentation, but many times over the past 3 years, they ruled out the fact that they were staying at that 25 Railroad Avenue. That's when the city became interested. We are under consent order right now to improve our police courtroom facilities. And the consent order has been 7 or 8 years in the making, and quite frankly, we presented several proposals, and discussed them in length and detail, but most of them were too costly. But this was a unique opportunity for us to purchase this building. We brought Office of Court Administration people over there. We brought the police personnel over there, not once but twice. We paraded through the building, explored the opportunity of using that as that site. Everybody was very excited over it. We had informed the county that we were interested in purchasing a building if they were completely ruled out the fact, which everybody believed they had. And at that point, we
Because they have the right of first refusal, is that right?
In the current option agreement, they have the right of first refusal. I believe the sum that they could purchase it for was $2 million at the time that the lease had expired it. Since that time, they've done an appraisal. I believe the appraisal come in at $1.3 million, so I guess it's up for negotiations between the county and Mr. Conker as to what the final price will be when they purchase it. But I just find it interesting now that 3 years after the fact that they're back looking at the building that they had completely ruled out at one time.
Right. Now, Aquamic is just sitting, not being used, and really has been a boondoggle, in your opinion, I would assume, right?
Yeah, the whole idea of locating all the county facilities 6 miles away in a rural location, while geographically it looked like it was in the center of the county, demographically it was away from everything.
Right.
The county often used the word synergy, and when you talk about synergy, probation, all the Office of Aging, the mental health facilities, the Department of Health, all these were proposed to move out to that location, a site where essentially 100% of the people that utilize those agencies would need to be transported out there or transport themselves out there. Mm-hmm. So it made no sense, especially in light of DSS, where it's been proven that 54% of the people that use DSS are within walking distance of the current location now. So, there's one thing between the cost of what they bought the building for, which was terrible in itself, but there's another thing about $1.5 million and then $300,000 more to remediate the oil that was in there, and then they're talking about a $16 to $18 million improvements, and then they didn't want to factor in the 30 to 35 year cost it would be to actually transport people out there. They called that operating cost and didn't want to count it. So that's when Plan B came into play, and we offered a proposal that sort of was bantered around for a while, and now it doesn't seem to be on the county's table whatsoever.
So for people who don't know what Plan B is, would you just explain that?
Yeah, Plan B was an example of, on the corner of 4th and Columbia Street, we were proposing to have a 40,000-square-foot building built over there. If you remember, that's the amount of square footage that DSS said they needed. When they were claiming they needed to move out of the building they're in now because it's too small, which is 28,000, they said they needed 40,000 square foot because the employees was going, there's currently 150 employees over there. It was going to expand by, 80. They were projecting it was going to need, they're going to need 230. So we suggested to them and offered them, look, again, we proved that most of the people are within close proximity of Hudson and DSS services. Why not build it right there? And we offered them a plan to do that.
So let me just, yesterday is when Roy Brown had his op-ed piece in the Register Star. You can find that online if you'd like to read it. So I'm just going to read the first two paragraphs of it. It starts with my name. Francesca Olson wrote a story about the DSS property, which the city editor affectionately called BOS Interest in DSS Building Grows. Let's all understand today's economy. With projected cuts to Medicaid, the anticipated impact of the governor's state budget, and the threat of a property tax cap, which will all have a major impact for all towns, school districts, the county, and New York State, the county has and must continue to adjust its priorities and spending on a daily basis. So his piece is about how the county should be looking at 25 Railroad Avenue as an option because it is their due diligence and because it may well be cheaper than any of the other ideas that they have considered.
Well, again, reading the piece, the first thing I found rather amusing was the chairman giving us all an economic lesson. The second thing that when I read it was they used the word due diligence. Well, they did due diligence and had the brave souls that didn't that walked the line in front of 401 and wrote letters and called their supervisors. Had they not been so persistent as they were, we probably would be cutting the ribbon on Aquamic today, and a $20 million debt service, which would have put the county in debt for years to come. So, you know, here we are 3 years later and looking at the economy, and like I said, thankful to the people that were, you know, had the ability to look at the economy 3 years ago and say it wasn't the right move at Aquamic. Today, again, I would suggest that if they're looking at the building over there, then essentially make a decision. That's all we're asking. Make a decision. Again, 3 years later, and they still haven't made a decision. They're saying basically that it was the city's fault that they have to buy 25 Railroad Avenue. It's not the city's fault. All we said from day one is that you are not interested in 25 Railroad Avenue. We are. And give us the opportunity to move our police courtroom facilities in there. But make a decision if you're going to stay there or not. Again, here we are 2 or 3 months from the lease expiring, and they still haven't made a decision to purchase the building. One of the things that the chairman had indicated in the letter that it was basically the city's fault and the city could have bought the building and leased it back to us. Well, we're not in the landlord business.
And they did ask if you would do that in the August 9th letter that Roy references in his piece.
Again, I'll go back to if it's the intent of the county to stay at that location, then they should buy the building. And when they're done with the building, they need it no more. And one supervisor indicated that they may be 3 or 4 years out from this period on before they even make a decision or have finished a project, if you will, where all these agencies could move into. We're not interested in a building 3 or 4 years out. We're interested in a building right now because, quite frankly, we need to move on our police courtroom facilities. And when I said that the county had strung us out, only because if they had mentioned to us a year ago that they were going to buy the building, if you will, okay, then a year ago we would have moved in a different direction for those police courtroom facilities that were under consent order.
Is sort of off the track a little bit, but is there a plan B for the police and court facility?
No, there has to be now, though. We put all the plans aside because we had everybody moving towards this location. Now that the county has indicated that their backs are to the wall and they're going to need to stay there 2-3 years and using the economy as the excuse, well, then we need to move in a different direction.
So the old Walmart building has been mentioned as a possible housing for, I mean, not housing, but facility for DSS and a number of other county agencies. What are your thoughts about Walmart?
The only reservations I have about that plan was, I guess, a couple of them. Number one, they were going to move agencies that did not need to be moved out there because they simply had square footage that they needed to fill up. DSS is one thing, but when they start moving mental health, Department of Health, Office of Aging out to that other location, when just 5 years ago they built the building on Columbia Street for that. We had worked diligently trying to get that building built there because we knew the services need to stay in the city of Hudson, and now they're just taking it and uprooting it and moving it out to a box store on Route 9 and then suggesting, well, we'll take 401 operations and move it in that brand new building at 325 Columbia Street. Mm-hmm. I have a real problem with that. The second problem I have is that they still haven't dealt with the transitional housing. We had said all along that if you want to get serious about transitional housing, that's the people who are basically in transition, the ones that are currently in a motel right now, that need some sort of support services so they can get on their feet, get jobs, and move into more permanent lifestyle. Take the transitional housing and move it out there alongside of DSS if it's going to be located on Route 9. Mm-hmm. They would not consider that. There was no indication that they would consider dealing with transitional housing. They simply felt like, well, they needed to move the homeless in Hudson, but move the DSS and the employees outside of Hudson.
Right. We're going to take a break for a second. This is At Issue on WGXC 90.7 ACRA, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Mayor Scalera. We're back with I'm Victor Mandolia. We're here with Francesca Olson from the Register Star and Mayor Rick Scalera from the City of Hudson. So the city has had a contentious relationship with the county for some time now, and I was wondering what your thoughts about that are, and you know, are ways of improving the situation.
It's truly unfortunate that we do have this contentious relationship. I can remember the relationship I had with Chairman Jerry Simons, and it was as good as it gets. And he always included the City of Hudson in the fold of information. Started being contentious when Art Bear became chairman, and carried on somewhat with Roy. I'm not really sure why, but it has. I wish it would get better. I wish there was some indication that the county was a willing partner in terms of understanding how important the City of Hudson is to the rest of the county. For some reason, that the 18 supervisors outside the City of Hudson, and I don't want to put them all and paint them with one broad brush, but it's unfortunate that there's not a better understanding of what goes on in the City of Hudson and what a successful Hudson means to the entire county.
Do you feel like you have any sort of open communication with Roy Brown as chairman and you as mayor? Do you ever sit down to talk to him?
No, I feel we do. I mean, we've emailed each other, but
good.
Yeah. No, there's, you know, I like Roy. I think he's a great guy. I just think that for whatever reason, there's some underlining, pressures that he may have to having an open relationship with me in the City of Hudson.
Well, there have been a couple of instances where the county tried to site facilities in the City of Hudson without any previous discussion with either your office or the council president or anybody. It seemed there was the transitional housing proposal for the St. Charles Hotel. There was recently the transitional facility on State Street, and I was just wondering what you thought about why would the county try to site these facilities without any discussion on the city level?
I think it's total lack of respect for the fact that the elected officials in the City of Hudson have an obligation and a job to take care of its citizenry in the City of Hudson. The St. Charles proposal was one where Art Bear walked in my office 1 hour before and told me what he was going to announce publicly over at 401. And then, you know, when I told him that, not holding back, I said, you really have got to be kidding. And he says, I'm surprised that you're upset over this. And I said, oh, my goodness, I can't even believe that you're surprised. But if you feel that you have to go announce this at this point instead of discussing it, then I guess that's your intent anyhow. And sure enough, that's what he did. Mm-hmm. He announced that the St. Charles was going to be leased for 7 years, where they're going to put transitional housing in upstairs and a satellite station downstairs. I guess it was all part of a bigger plan for them to prove that Aquamic was the best purchase for county campus.
Mm-hmm. There's a strange parallel with that, actually, that's going on today. The CARES study that the county contracted with the firm out of Albany, who have done plans for Saratoga and Albany and Poughkeepsie, like 10-year plans to end homelessness. One of the recommendations in the CARES plan for Columbia County is that the county should actually buy one of the motels that it's using to house homeless people and turn it into some sort of emergency shelter. What do you think about that?
Well, I think they indicated they want to buy a motel because essentially that's where you'll find 16, 17, maybe more rooms, you know, in one central location. But I think...
And people are being housed there that are transitional clients.
That's right. And we don't need to mention which hotels or motels they are. We all know them. But I think the county, again, we've been saying for as long as I can remember, dating back many, many years of discussing this subject with the county, they need to get serious about this transitional housing. They need to build a facility where you don't have to pay a hotel or a motel $65 to $95 a night just a room. That's $2,700 a month. Mm-hmm. If you build a facility and you have it so that these, you know, the individuals who are formerly in these motels can go in a county-run facility with support services downstairs. Essentially, you can do it for the same money. But here's what you're doing. You're not only rooming the individuals and providing the housing for it, but you're providing support staff as well.
Right.
And I think that's what the reports had indicated, that you may not end up on a savings. You might not end up with a savings, but you will give the individuals who are in these positions the opportunity not only to be providing with housing, but the support staff, alcohol counseling, drug counseling, financial counseling, and otherwise. Mm-hmm.
The use of these motels in a way holds back the economic development of the county as well, because of the shortage of beds for tourists as well. Do you see that as a problem, and that also could be addressed by having wraparound services provided in a proper facility and sort of freeing up these motels? Is that something?
I would think that's certainly an option. I'm not sure the motels that are currently being used, once freed up, would be used for tourism. Somebody would have to purchase them and do them over and make them attractive for tourists. But it certainly is an issue with Columbia County. I know on numerous occasions I had people call my office and ask where there was either a hotel or a motel they could stay, and you know, is there enough for a party of 20 or 30?
Right.
And in many instances we would have to send them across the river.
Right.
So it is an issue. We certainly need a motel.
Francesca, maybe you could answer this. Is there a similar situation where towns, where the county has tried to site things in towns without discussing it with the supervisors?
Not that I've heard of, except for the recent small conflict between the county and the village of Philmont about possibly siting the Pine Haven nursing facility, the new one at the Aquamic site. Which the mayor, who just won another election last night, said absolutely not to, because he doesn't want to see the nursing home anywhere outside of the vicinity of the village, even though I think that Aquamic is technically in Philmont anyway. But other than that, not really. I've never heard of them, you know, approaching Claremont and saying, well, we're going to put a big building here. And
so coincidentally, it would be, again, to try to have some productive use of Aquamic, and so they try to cram it down the throat of a locality.
Incidentally, Aquamic is in the village, or in the town of Clubbrook.
Yes.
And they were talking about moving the infrastructure from Philmont,
yeah.
Water and sewage.
I see. Because it's just outside of Philmont, but yeah. On the edge, right? Okay. Let's see.
I would like to ask you, Mr. Mayor, what you think the county should use Aquamic for, since there isn't a clear plan for it right now.
I don't have the slightest idea.
Oh, no.
I really don't. I at this point, I don't know, you know, what their needs are. I'm sure that they would know better than I what their needs are, and the fact that it's still occupied indicates they don't know what they're doing with the building either. Last I heard, and it was an informal discussion, rather, that it is going to be put on the market. And I'm not really sure for how much or what the interest would be, especially in this economic climate. But I don't think at this point the county has any understanding what they're going to do with the building.
Just for anybody who doesn't already know, right now the county's facilities workshop is located there. There are several county cars that are parked there regularly, and they store reams of paper and old lever voting machines in the building.
This is At Issue. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Francesca Olson.
And we're here with Mayor Rick Scalera discussing the city's relationship with the county and various issues that have come up recently. I wanted to go back to the Railroad Avenue site for a second. The county seems to be actively considering that facility, and I know that I've toured the facility, and it's tremendously overcrowded. It's ridiculously packed. There are boxes of records and storage, and it's bizarrely crowded. And I was wondering how you thought that all of a sudden they are finding that they're considering this building, but clearly there's not enough room there for what is housed there right now. So what do you think about that?
I'm not really sure to the extent of how long they're considering the building. I think in reality, they're going to have to move out of that facility into larger quarters or expand on that site, which they're having reservations about. But the question I have to the county and the concern I have is, you know, they've discussed many options all the way from Aquamic to the possibility of spending $2.6 million towards the purchase of one city center, to the renovations of 401, moving DSS and some of its operations in there, and of course the most recent proposal of Walmart. But somewhere along the line, the leadership has to step up and convince and sell a project to the rest of the supervisors, and then they have to make a decision to do it. Right or wrong, a decision has to be made. Obviously, we're going to do whatever we can to encourage DSS and all the other agencies that I think belong in the city of Hudson to stay here. And that's why I'll still go back to Plan B, which I thought was the best plan in terms of keeping all the agencies, the campus effect all around Columbia Street, and with the synergy of the courthouse and probation, everything else, I think it belongs here. But if it, you know, if there's no way that can happen, then they have to make a decision as to where it goes, mm-hmm. Even if it's at Walmart. Whatever the decision is, they have to, you know, again, you know, for whatever reason, they have to just be persistent enough to say, okay, we're finally going to make a decision and we're moving on it. Mm-hmm. Because even if you make one today, you're 2 years out from you know, before you do all the plans and the,
if you're lucky,
the due diligence, as the chairman says, you're going to be 2 years from actually start building.
Right. I wanted to ask you a little bit about the concentration of facilities for lower and moderate income and housing and the transitional facilities, and because there is a from what I understand, about 53% of the properties in Hudson are not on the property tax rolls because of various reasons. Either they're government owned or nonprofits or some sort of government facility. And it often seems as if the supervisors from other towns looks disparagingly at the city of Hudson. As if we are the cause of a lot of the problems on the county level because of our citizenry. And I'd like to hear your thoughts about why that might be. Is the perception correct, and is it Hudson's fault, basically?
Well, again, I think you hit it on the head. It's a perception. And one of the things that I think we can do and do better is to promote Hudson a little bit better to the supervisors who either historically never even enter the city of Hudson or know little or nothing about the city. So we need to sell Hudson a little bit better in terms of its significance to the county, in terms of, you know, whatever perceptions they have that may hold back their support for Hudson being promoted and being successful. And that's one of the things that I think that our current board of supervisors, our current Hudson supervisors should be doing a little bit better. And if not now, then it certainly has to be done in the near future.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I noticed is that, and I even spoke up at the Economic Development Committee meeting for the county last year, was that in tourist materials that the county puts out, they don't even mention Hudson, and I mean certainly not on the front. And I mean in the pamphlet that went out last year, that was like the rack card that they put in train stations and things. You had to go to the fifth page before there was anything about Hudson, and to many people, Hudson is the economic engine, that certainly the tourist engine for the county. Well, there are plenty of other places in the county where people go for tourist attractions. It seems as if Hudson is really the solid anchor of that, and I just wondered your thoughts about that.
I'm not really sure why Hudson is taking a back seat to tourism in the county. One would only need to come to the city of Hudson any given weekend and find out that majority of people who are in Columbia County make their way through the city of Hudson, stop here, have lunch here, and you know. Examine our architecture, visit the shops, and from I've said this numerous times from Thursday through Sunday, you can't even find a parking spot in the city of Hudson. Right. So I'm not really sure what can be done other than, again, just to bring some of the people who are making the decision to put us in the second, third, or fourth pages, bringing them to the table and asking them how we can better get them to understand, you know, how important Hudson is.
Mm-hmm. I think a few of those tourism pamphlets, you actually have to buy into them. So if more Hudson restaurant owners or business owners decided to buy into those pamphlets, they probably could get better billing.
Well, the Hudson Business Coalition did buy the center page in it, but the advertorial, as they call it, basically, you know, the text that was in it and the headline, it just said Columbia County, and you know, if you're putting these in racks in train stations, I can guarantee you that very few people know even where Columbia County is, but they do know where Hudson is, and that would seem to be a lost opportunity.
How much does Hudson do on its own behalf to promote tourism? Because I think Poughkeepsie as a city has its own tourism bureau. They have the walkway and all kinds of stuff there. I know they promote it pretty actively. I don't know if that's Dutchess County that does that or if it's the city government.
Well, we have Don Moore, the council president here, and why don't we have Don take that?
Well, I think that the one answer is the size of the city, the comparative size of Poughkeepsie to Hudson. Poughkeepsie is a much larger city, has a much larger budget, and I think that has a good deal to do with it, why they would be more able to be more active than we are. However, we do have the Hudson Development Corporation, and we have improved their website specifically for tourism as well as for other economic development purposes, so that we are we're making progress. We have plans to do more promotion. We are putting some money aside for that. And indeed, we may, through the Hudson Development Corporation, hire someone in the near future, since we have an opening there, who will be adept not only at things like Main Street development and business development, but also specifically promotion for the city.
So we're going to take a break for a second. This is At Issue. We're here I'm Victor Mandolia. We're here with Francesca Olson from the Register-Star and Mayor Rick Scalera, Council President Don Moore from the City of Hudson, and we'll be back in a moment. We're back here at Issue with Mayor Rick Scalera from the City of Hudson, Council President Don Moore. I'm Victor Mandolia.
I'm Francesca Olson.
And we're gonna keep talking a little bit about the city's relationship with the county. Where do you see possible areas of improvement as far as representation goes and communication with the county on the city level?
Well, I have a slightly different observation that I'd like to make in addition to what the mayor has already said. That has to do with the structure and the organization of the county government. As we all know, the county supervisors are a legislature, but they also each individually run local governments. All the supervisors, with the exception of Hudson, of course, because Hudson is a city and Hudson has a mayor and a common council. I think that part of the problem with the relationship of the county to the city has to do simply with the fact that the individual supervisors' loyalties and time and energies are divided very much towards the running of their own jurisdictions, the running of their own towns. If there were a legislature that were more independent of both the administration of the county and the administration of the individual communities, I think there might be a more even-handed view of where the strengths of the county lie and a better recognition of Hudson's role there.
often town supervisors win or lose their races on whether they plowed the streets that year and that kind of thing. So it's often it seems as if the issues for town supervisors are often so localized that there is very little vision on a county level. And would you agree with that?
No, I completely agree with that. And one of the things that is at a disadvantage to the county supervisors is the fact that they have limited time to actually deal with the big picture issues. That's why I suggest that Supervisor Hughes had it correct when he said that they should have these open meetings to talk about not being fearful of being subjected to the public listening to what they're saying. To talk about issues such as where DSS or any of these other agencies should be located or any other county issue that sort of resonates outside of the jurisdiction of their local, governing site, if you will, mm-hmm. a town or village. And it's difficult when you're in a Gallatin or Ankrum or Hillsdale or any of to have a clear understanding of some of the big picture decisions and how to spend enough time deliberating over them. But I think any of these discussions should definitely be made in an open setting and certainly not some back room out in the village of Chatham where...
So I guess you read my story.
Where you may or may not be invited depend on, which side of the issue you're on. I think that's one of the things that is divide and conquer, mm-hmm.
Technique, Francesca, why don't you tell us about your story in today's paper?
All right. So today's Register Star, it is Wednesday, March 16th, has a story above the fold that is called Soups Gather to Discuss Issues Away from Public Eye. And it is about a group of 6 to 10 supervisors that have been meeting around once a month since December. They meet at Chatham Town Hall, and according to Hillsdale Supervisor Art Bear, who recently dropped his Republican Party affiliation, so now he's NOP Hillsdale, according to Art Bear, they talk about regional and county issues, and they don't do any politicking. It's not a partisan meeting, but it is away from the public eye so that they have more time to get in-depth about issues. And in fact, when they're in committees, they often spend a lot of time explaining to each other the issues that they talk about in the other committees. And it takes a lot away from the business at hand. So on the one hand, it's nice to know everything that's going on in your county if you're a county supervisor. But on the other hand, is it ethical for a group of supervisors to be gathering together without anybody knowing what they're talking about?
I think ethics has taken a back seat here. The fact is that it's been by invite only. And if it was open to all supervisors, not only the ones Art Bear invites, I would suggest it could be useful and helpful, despite the fact that the public won't be invited. But I still am very persistent. I think that if the public was sitting there, they might be able to help some of the elected officials make decisions for them. I don't think that elected officials – no, let me put this. I know elected officials don't have all the answers.
The Register Star's executive editor and city editor, Teresa Hyland and Kate Mustachio, both asked me this question after looking over the story last night. And the question is, why don't they just have Board of Supervisors workshop meetings where the public can come and the supervisors can discuss in public what the regional and county issues are, and then the public can respond?
You know, it would seem to me that the one of the things that the supervisors would be encouraging is community involvement, because a lot of these problems have been lack of community involvement, and it just seems bizarre to be holding these secret meetings. The stranger thing, one of the most glaring problems I see as well is that they're not allowing any critics to come. One of the most vociferous critics of the operation of the Board of Supervisors has been Supervisor Hughes in the City of Hudson, Hudson's fourth ward supervisor, and he's not invited to these meetings, nor is Ed Cross, and they are the only two black elected officials on the County Board of Supervisors, and it seems quite a bit odd that the minority supervisors have been not invited to these meetings. It's a little strange.
But you don't know for sure that they're the only ones ever that haven't been invited.
Well, that's true, but it would seem a little glaring that they haven't been.
I think that one of the issues here is that they're walking a very, very fine line, trying to observe the wording of the open meetings law, but not the spirit. And I think that's what's wrong here. If they feel they need to discuss issues, they are an elected body, and they should discuss them in public. It may be difficult, as we all know, at times. There are controversies. As the mayor says, we as elected officials don't always have all the answers, which is a good reason both to talk to all of our colleagues and to talk to the public. I can't imagine why the Board of Supervisors, with the kind of issues that they have, with the money that is at stake, both the spending authority and the taxing authority, that those issues should be only considered in closed meetings.
We're here in the City of Hudson studio and having a train go by, so you might hear that, but we'll continue the discussion. As far as representation on the Board of Supervisors, where do you see that going, Mayor?
Representation in
from respect, the City of Hudson.
From the City of Hudson? Well, it's an election year, and obviously both parties are looking at potential candidates, and while they haven't surfaced yet, I can tell you right now that I have no reservations about suggesting that I will be a candidate for supervisor in the 5th Ward. I think that the years of experience and I'm not going in there as an adversary, I'm going in there as somebody who I think can not only help the City of Hudson, but help the county along as well. I have no interest in using it as a power position. I have only interest in moving things forward and offering my expertise. But I am anxious, and I would love the opportunity to serve on that board. Obviously, you have to get elected, and obviously, there's a campaign ahead. But nevertheless, I'd like to believe that all the people who are stepping forward, particularly in the City of Hudson, have the same interest that Hudson needs to be well represented on the board, and I'm not sure that's the case right now.
Mm-hmm. This will be a big change for you, though. You've been mayor 7 terms, and stepping over to the Board of Supervisors would be something new for you. Where do you see your strengths, and what specifically would you like to see happen there?
Well, it would be a change. There's no doubt about it. The fact is that I'd be one of 23, again, I'd said this if I am elected. I said this before, and I'll say it again, that I would go in there with the understanding that I need to help promote Hudson. I need to help convince the other supervisors that the City of Hudson is important. And I'll take any of my expertise and offer it to who the chairman is at that time, and let them know that I'll serve on any particular committees that they want, that they think I can be useful serving with my experience in local government.
Is this your first official announcement that you're going to run for the 5th Ward Supervisor seat?
It is.
Oh, he heard it here first.
We made some news this morning. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about last night's meeting at the Hudson City Common Council. It was an interesting meeting, to say the least, last night. So we'll be back with Mayor Scalera and Council President Moore and Francesca Olson from the Register Star. I'm Victor Mandolia, and this is At Issue at 90.7 WGXC ACRA. So we're back at Issue on WGXC. We at last night's meeting of the Common Council, there was a vote on a grant of really $4,000 that Catholic Charities has made to the Hudson City Police Department for alcohol education and enforcement, underage alcohol drinking and enforcement and education. And for background, a little while ago, I guess a couple of months ago, there was a sting operation to at local bars and restaurants, and on the first operation, there were 8 businesses that were there were arrests made for underage drinking, and some people had questioned the appropriateness of a religious organization funding police sting operations. In addition, there was a lot of concern from the business community about these types of operations, and Catholic Charities made a second grant to the police department, and that grant was discussed at last night's meeting and voted on. So, Council President Moore, what are your thoughts about what went down last night?
Well, I want to say that that was not the only thing that occurred last night. I want to say briefly that it was a very productive meeting because we passed a resolution supporting a U.S. Army Corps of Engineers study of the South Bay that's been passed along to Senator Gillibrand's office. We laid on the table, which is to say prepared for passage, a local law that would provide better opportunities for people who are in foreclosure proceedings or even at eviction to be able to hold on to their houses if they can cure and pay off their the amount that's owed to the city in taxes or fees. We had an extensive discussion about how to help those folks, people in the city in general, budget better if they're facing difficult times and want to hold on to the houses that they own. And I think all that spoke very well for the council. I think also that we had, as Victor said, we had a very difficult discussion with a difference of opinion about whether or not this particular grant should be pursued. The Hudson Police Department and Catholic Charities have, on a couple of occasions, suggested that this is the best way to use $4,000. Insofar as that the approach that was used to enforcement by the police department had been used a couple of times over the last couple of months, it was my feeling that I wanted to have a little better explanation on the part of the department, the police department, as to how they would use this funds and why they would use it in the same way that they had before. Chief Richardson did come forward with some supporting information. I did not feel that it was completely satisfied the questions that I had, and I did feel that it was indeed the prerogative of the council to ask questions. However, there was a strong feeling on the council last night that the grant should be voted on, and I felt it was the better part of wisdom to allow the vote to proceed. The council voted for the to allow the grant to go through, and I voted against it, and indeed I lost. But such is life. I think that I hope that this has been a useful learning experience for us all. I think that the issue of teenage drinking, of underage drinking, is something that very, very definitely needs to be addressed. I think that the restaurant community, the community that sells alcohol, needs to be vigilant, needs to observe the law. There's never been any question of that in my mind. The question in my mind was what was the most effective way to address that with limited resources, and to have a discussion about that with the enforcement authorities.
One of the things that I brought up at the meeting is that I had hoped that the enforcement would involve more having officers available, particularly around graduation time, that to patrol house parties or illicit parties in the woods or parks or whatever, where in my experience, having underage drank, these are the places that these kinds of that underage drinking is most likely to take place, and I've also seen little evidence of underage drinking downtown in the restaurants and bars. And my concern was just that at a certain point, these types of operations in a way create a crime where a crime would not have existed, and particularly when they use people who go in and try to purchase these underage alcohol, they use people who look over the age of 21. So that was my concern about it, and I was just wondering if the mayor or council president has a thought about it.
Well, historically in the city of Hudson, we've always had these stings, if you will. We've had seatbelt enforcement where we had roadblocks, we had DWI roadblocks, and we've had these stings for as long as I can remember. The one of the concerns I have about accepting, quote, last night they said free money, is that we need to know what these free monies are going to be used for ahead of time. In this particular instance, the chief had indicated that he would have done the sting regardless if Catholic Charity money was forthcoming. And quite frankly, going back, I will review it with the chief today or in the near future about how much money has been exhausted already doing these previous stings of the $4,100 that's going to be forthcoming. So I think if there's anything that we can learn from these things is if there are free monies, as they say, coming from grants, have a clear-cut indication of how these monies are going to be spent. The legislative body is to accept the money with an understanding how they're going to be spent. Then after that, it goes to my branch, which is the executive branch, down to the police commissioner and down to the police chief as how we're going to enforce, you know, the laws that we will, including sting operations. Mm-hmm. The unfortunate thing here is that the timeliness of everything just, it really didn't work out well. And then, again, as we said before, in the past, when they've had these operations and they found underage drinking going on, it really didn't have much of an impact other than the people got slapped on the wrist, gave a stern warning, and reported perhaps to the liquor authority, but that was the extent of it. Now they have to get a little more serious because Governor Patterson has upped the ante, if you will, to a $2,000 fine. So, you know, from our perspective, we have to look at it saying, okay, how often are we going to do this? Is this the best use of monies? I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. I'm just saying that when we take these monies, we have to have a clear-cut example or understanding of what we're going to be doing with it. I can tell you, even if we don't take these monies, there will be stings in the near future, or not necessarily near future, year after year, because that's what they've done. Mm-hmm. There has to be a way of policing the underage drinking, but and the bar owners and the restaurant owners have to be cognizant that may happen, sure. And they have to be really on their toes in respect to training their staff and understanding the significance of it. But just to take money for the sake of overtime and enforcing this, I'm not really sure that was the best use of the money.
Well, that, to the overtime issue, that's one of the things I wanted to ask you. Do you think that that some of the sort of advocacy on the part of the department in order to take these monies, and the fact that people are making time and a half while they're doing it, do you think that that's a piece that could be a piece of this?
Well, it's over time. It's a situation where most of the people who are doing the normal patrol work, investigative work, are not on these details. These are details that are funded essentially by grant monies, usually.
But just to clarify as well, just so people understand, it's not really free money because this is money that comes from the Division of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse that is passed through Catholic Charity. So it is indeed taxpayer money. It's still the people's money, just so people understand.
All grants are not free money. They're somebody's money. Right. What taxpayers are obviously paying for any grants, whether it's state, federal, or local grants, but you know, in this particular instance, I would say that again, I just want to make it a point that these are not new. These sting operations are not new to the city of Hudson, and even the county of Columbia and Greene County, as we are well aware of. But, you know, when we take these monies, we have to, you know, and the close proximity of taking the money and then having not one but two sting operations is something that, again, I think needs further discussion.
So, again, this is WGXC 90.7 ACRA. This is At Issue.
I'm Francesca Olson.
I'm Victor Mandolia. We're here with Council President Moore and Mayor Scalera at the Hudson Studio. We've got about 5 minutes left. Is there anything that either of you would like to discuss that we haven't really touched upon?
Well, I will go back for a second to the CARES study that was mentioned by Francesca, having to do with a plan for homelessness, for curing homelessness in Columbia
County. And for the listeners, this is President Moore speaking.
I'm sorry, yeah, Don Moore. Because I think that is one of the bright spots on the county's record over the last year or so. Because I think that they have done a very thorough report. They have come up with practical solutions, as was mentioned. The purchase of a motel might not be the ideal solution. Building something might be the ideal solution. But insofar as homelessness is an issue that is on top of us right now and we need to address, that is a very practical solution. In that report, and we will have a presentation to the Common Council in the near future about this report, it details the various populations, the ways to address the difficulties that these populations face, whether it's mental illness or substance abuse or simple homelessness or child support. And I would strongly recommend that study be addressed by people who are concerned about homelessness. I also wanted to say something on a completely different subject about, and this came up in my mind in the relation of the county and the city, and that I think that Hudson over the last 10 to 15 years has gone from a position of being sort of at not like quite what its economic future was going to be, and has begun to really redevelop quickly. And with a great deal of apparent endurance. We have a large small business community that even in very difficult times has not faltered. And indeed, we're beginning to see sectors come to Hudson, online businesses, music businesses, that have that show the prospect of growing substantially. And I think that will also help put the city in a better position vis-a-vis the county, because we will be indeed a stronger part of the economic growth of the entire county.
So I think we're going to have to make that the last word, but I really appreciate Mayor Scalera and Council President Moore stopping by this morning.
Yeah, thank you both. This has been a great show.
Thank you.
And again, this is At Issue. We'll be back next week on Wednesday at 11 a.m. And thanks for listening.
You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, listener-supported hands-on radio for Greene and Columbia County.
shall be lost.